Curtis Mayfield, that's a hard act to follow. But I know you're up to the task. And for the next 2 hours, it's all up to you. Bring your A material as we do open lines. Hey, you know, maybe you're not a night owl. I'm a night owl. You're listening to the show live, so you're a night owl. But some of your friends, they might not be. So you got to tell them about the Coast Insider Club for about 15 cents a day. They have tonight's show waiting for them to listen. They can listen to over 1,000 shows, access to 1,000 shows. Think about that. And as an insider, they can go back 5 years to listen to shows. They'll have access to the monthly live chats with George and some of the other guests. And all they have to do, it's simple, it's easy. Just go to coasttocoastam.com and sign up. The Coast Insider Club. All right, as I say, coming up, open lines. I want to throw something on the fire here, because this happened to me. It happened last night at a restaurant west of Toronto, and I'm still shaken by it, quite frankly. So I was in a fish and chip shop, and my wife was there, my brother-in-law, his girlfriend, and this waitress came over to our table. She had raven black hair, dark lipstick, dark eyeshadow, I guess what you might call the goth look. But here's the thing, around her neck, she was wearing this chain, a gold chain, and attached to the chain were three sixes, 666. Now, I have to be honest, it threw me. I happen to be a Christian, probably not a very good one, but it threw me. And I thought about just getting up and leaving. And I don't know what stopped me. And I regret it now. So I asked her, she said, she noticed that we were sort of grimacing when we saw her necklace, and she said, "Do you like it?" And my wife and I said in unison, "No, we do not." So then she felt she had to explain that the three sixes supposedly represent her son's birth, the sixth day of June and the sixth hour. But I'm thinking, this: who puts the hour? Normally, when you commemorate someone's birthday, it's day, month, year. Am I right? Who puts the hour? It was as if she was deliberately trying to make it so that she could flaunt this 666. And no, I didn't ask whether her son's name was Damien, but I mean, I have to be honest. I wondered, is this woman a closet Satanist? So we didn't leave. We stayed. And I'm not sure I did the right thing. And I'd like to ask you what you would do in such a circumstance. Would you get up and leave? Have you ever been confronted with someone? Perhaps, I don't know, they have some sort of an occult symbol or something that's quite obviously satanic. Does it disturb you? Does it bother you? Let me throw that on the fire. Maybe we can make that the first order of business as we open up the lines here on Coast to Coast. Hope you'll join me. Richard Serrett, in for George Norrie. Back with your calls in a moment. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett sitting in for George Norrie. Listen, I don't know if Satanists are feeling emboldened. Tom Danheiser, our producer, just sent me this story, which sort of ties into my experience last night at a restaurant where the waitress came over and she had a necklace with 666. She was flaunting it. And I tell you, I was really thrown for a loop. And I don't know whether I was just paralyzed, perplexed, confused, but I wanted to leave, but I couldn't. And I sort of regret not leaving. Anyway, if you've had a similar experience, let me know. But Tom sent me this story, and it's a satanic black mass gets green light from U.S. city. This happened late in August. The Catholic Archbishop of Oklahoma City has agreed to drop a lawsuit against a satanic cult that plans to perform a black mass in the city now that the cult has returned a stolen consecrated host to the church. An Oklahoma-based satanic group called Dachma of Angra Mainyu has leased space in the Civic Center Music Hall, which is owned and operated by the city, for a black mass on September 21st. The event is booked for the City Space Theater, the facility's smallest theater space, according to Jennifer McClintock, public information officer for the Civic Center. And as she told WND, the city will not block the black mass from being held despite an uproar among Christians and family groups, which are mobilizing to stop it. All right, into the phones we go, and let's say hi to Jeff on the wildcard line from La Quinta, California. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, Richard. Thanks for taking my call. I can. I've got 2 points, so I hope you let me make them. My first one about the Satan. I mean, at least she didn't lean over and hand you a diedinhouse.com card, which is one of your advertisers. You know, hey, you got? I'm a realtor. You know, diedinhouse.com. I don't think that the devil should be given any airtime whatsoever because they're just evil everywhere you turn. And my point and what I kind of wanted to just say is that I'm a veteran of both the Navy and the Army. And, you know, we've got a president that's assuming quite a lot. You know, I mean, just before these beheadings, our president was sending out pink slips to the people in the field. And that doesn't grow a lot of morale, you know? And we've got a Marine in Mexico that the president can't get out. And yet he's counting on our military, who he's weakened and decimated, to step up to the plate. You know, and maybe the reluctance to say boots on the ground is because he's not sure he can even get boots on the ground because, you know, I served in the 70s and 80s, I served in the Navy and got lucky enough to be stationed in Bermuda. But I served in the Army while I was going to college. The government paid for my college. And let me give you a way out of poverty. You join a McDonald's until you save enough money to join the military, and you join the military, and you don't have to do anything but be an air traffic controller, a medic, a dental assistant. You can be all kinds of things. Trust me, the people that want to go fight want to go fight. But when they're not supported by our government, and then all of a sudden now's a call to duty, and they can't even call it war. I'm so embarrassed for my country right now, sir.
Well,
And
Jeff, first of all,
I appreciate that you gave me an opportunity to state my case here. You know, it just is really it's sad. And back again to our Marine that's in Mexico. I mean, my goodness. I just, God bless you for allowing the open forum. And as far as the devil worshiping goes, you know, it happens. I do believe in karma. And gosh, I hope things happen to the people. I think the military people that even represent the government are so ignorant that a private. And you want to talk about minimum wage? Let's start that with the military. I mean, when I joined
Oh,
the military, I
precisely,
think I made
precisely.
about $3 an hour.
First of all, Jeff, I want to thank you for your service, not once but twice, the Army and the Navy. Now, I'm sitting up here in Canada, and so I don't want to be an interloper. But you know, my sense of the situation is that the morale in the armed services in the United States has never been lower. I could be wrong about that, but that's just my sense. And I do talk to veterans from time to time, and they echo precisely what you're saying. And you're right. The treatment of veterans, the fact that they, in many cases, after, you know, giving the ultimate price, or they come home, they're disabled, they're messed up in so many god-awful ways, and yet so many of them living in squalor. It's a national disgrace. And you know, we're not lily white up here either in Canada. You would find similar circumstances, and with some of our returning veterans too. It's a tragedy, a national tragedy. Jeff, I appreciate the call. We have an anonymous caller on the wild card line in Cleveland. He's hot in Cleveland, or she's hot in Cleveland. Hello, anonymous. Welcome to Coast.
Hello. I'd like to say I'm very I'm honored to be on here. I enjoy listening to the show.
We're glad to have you. Thank you. Go ahead.
It's the level of synchronicity. I right when I turned you on, you were talking about Terrence McKenna and Rick Strassman. I have both their books right next to me. I'm in my car.
In your car. And then you turn on the radio, and there we were talking about Terrence McKenna.
I have Food of the Gods and the Spirit Molecule right next to me, yes.
Wow. And do you find that this happens a lot in your life, these little serendipities or synchronicities?
Yes, I appreciate it a lot when that happens.
And do you think they happen? Why do you think? Is it because you're maybe you're very sensitive to that, and you're looking for those, or is there something else going on there with synchronicity?
Well, there's a high correlation with the more that I meditate, the more it happens. But when I don't, it doesn't.
Interesting.
So I have a comment to say about sleep paralysis. It really is terrifying.
You've had a visit from the old hag, have you?
No, but I've had the first time it happened. I was at school, and it was an out of body experience, and I couldn't move at all. And then it happened. I was sitting on a couch, and I just like felt like terrified, like really, really scared.
Wait a minute. This is interesting. You had one while you were at school and while you're sitting on the couch, and yet you're describing it as sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Because this is interesting. I mean, if you're in bed, you're lying down, you're asleep, then you might be able to dismiss it as sleep paralysis. But how do you explain it away as sleep paralysis if you're at school or sitting up on a couch?
Oh, because I was sleeping.
You were sleeping at school.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We caught you.
We weren't doing anything in class. You're talking about extraterrestrial phenomenon. What's your opinion on the TO3B? Do you think that that's real?
Which one is that?
The triangle hovercraft.
Oh.
There's a lot of videos of it.
Sure. I mean, we're talking about these craft that they are so large, when people look up, they obliterate the night sky. Now, I mean, the U.S. Defense Department, the Air Force, they've got nothing like that as far as I know. I mean, I'm a big believer that much of what we see in the sky that we can't explain is quite likely some highly advanced piece of hardware that's been developed. But I don't think we have anything approximating, you know, a craft that could be, you know, several football fields long or wide, depending on how you want to measure it, that can float silently above the treetops. Again, so big that it blots out the night sky. It's not one of ours. That's all I'm saying. Thanks for the call. Let's say hi to Lauren in, is it Bradenton, Florida? Good morning,
hello.
Lauren. Hi, is it
Hello?
Bradenton? Yes, you're on Coast
Bradenton.
To Coast. Bradenton, welcome.
Hey, you were talking about Satanists. Your little girl who is flaunting her 666 in your face. Wow, that's unbelievable.
She tried to explain it away and said, oh, that's my son's birthday, but I'm not buying it because nobody puts the hour of the birth on, you know. And here's the other thing. She said that her mother was present at the birth and was very disturbed that the child was going to be born in the sixth hour, thus completing the 666, the unholy triumvirate. So she said her mother was telling her, hold on, don't deliver yet. But she said, I couldn't.
Wow. That's really weird. I was going to ask you one thing. Actually, I have two things to ask you. You're from Canada.
I am.
Okay. I'm just teasing. What do you think about the 9/11 thing that happened? I mean, what's your honest opinion on that? There's so many, you know, things going on that people say, you know, we blew it up. The United States government blew it up. The terrorists blew it up. There's no planes. There are planes. There are particle beam weapons, which was on a show a couple of days ago. You know, what do you think?
My opinion is that I think Occam's razor, you know, the simplest explanation is the best explanation. Skeptics will often throw that in your face whenever you're talking about conspiracies. But to me, the simplest explanation is something that complex could not have been pulled off without some assistance on the inside. So I'm not implicating, you know, the Bush administration or any individual. I don't know the names, but I think there are rogue elements inside that played a part. And I think the first 9/11 congressional inquiry, which was chaired by Senator Bob Graham out of Florida. We don't hear much about that one. We hear about the second one, which was, let's face it, a bit of a whitewash. And even the chief legal counsel for that commission says it was a whitewash, and many of them backed away and distanced themselves from it. But the first one that we don't hear a lot about, again, chaired by Senator Bob Graham from Florida. That was on to something, I believe. And so much of that report, when it came out, was redacted. And I believe that there were some threats made, you know, to prevent a lot of the information coming out. And they were prevented, Graham and his team of investigators, they were prevented from interviewing key FBI personnel. I think if we could go back to that first 9/11 commission, that first 9/11 inquiry, and find out what they found out, and that could be released, then I think we'd be much closer to the truth. Appreciate the call from Florida. Let's see, do we have time to squeeze in one more? I think so. Anthony's in Kansas City. Hey, Anthony, good morning. Anthony, welcome to Coast to Coast. He's gone. I'm sorry, I'm looking in the wrong place here. Let's say hi to Josh in New Orleans. Hey, Josh, welcome to Coast.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, sir. How are you?
You know, just another night on the road. Hey, I've been listening to you talk, and I've been hearing some of your guests call in, and I wanted to kind of share some of my experiences that I've had pretty recently, actually, dealing with, I mean, you can call it paranormal, but pretty much what came to my mind after extensive, you know, seeking counsel from pastors and whatnot, you know, basically what was relayed to me. I mean, I've been a Christian man for the better part of my life. I grew up in a Baptist church, and, you know, somehow, some way, I got sidetracked, and I started thinking that this new age way of thinking is the way to go. You know, I mean, why wouldn't it be Aunt Margaret? Why wouldn't it be Aunt Kathy? And I couldn't have been more wrong. my wife and I both kind of entertained it, got the bright idea that, hey, why don't we do a, you know, EVP session? And, man, it was total chaos. I have never in my life seen anything more evil come into my home and, you know, toy with us, move things around, stack stuff up, scratch my wife. Later come to find out it's mocking the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. And I was panicking. I was literally just freaking out because I didn't know what to do. And I sought counsel after, you know, men in my life who are godly men. And I explained to them what I did, and I explained to them what had happened. And, you know, basically I was told that, you know, as a Christian man, you know, the Bible is very clear. There is no in-between. You are either with me or you are not. And, you know.
Right. There's a pretty strict prohibition on divination and conjuring. Conjuring, I think, is the key word. Conjuring spirits. Right.
And
although, you know, Josh, excuse me, but something that's always confused me about that, and that is that, you know, we are encouraged, or at least certain sects within Christianity are encouraged to commune with the saints. Now, the saints are all, you know, they've all died and gone to heaven. Isn't that a form of conjuring? I've always wondered that. Maybe someone could call in and help me with that. What's the difference between conjuring the spirit of a dead relative and communing with the saints?
And honestly, you know, because there's still that little level of, you know, something just doesn't add up. You know, there's got to be something there. You know, and I think that if it is a loved one or is a relative, I mean, I think God understands our pain with the loss. And he understands that, you know, we're going to grieve. And, that, you know, it's God's choice. If he wants to let, you know, an individual or a spirit or a past spirit, you know, say a goodbye or something along those lines, it's completely and totally up to him.
I got you. I think I'm on side with you there. If they want to, yeah, it's kind of a one-way thing. We can't go looking for it, but if they want to drop by and say hi, then that's okay. I appreciate the call, Josh, in New Orleans. I'm back with Open Lines and your calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Sitting in for George Norrie tonight. Bill Withers. It seems like the only song we ever hear Bill Withers played on the radio is Lean on Me. So I thought we should redress that tonight and come back with Use Me, which is a great tune. Great Bill Withers tune. And you can use me. I can be your confessor. You've had an encounter with the paranormal. It's not something necessarily you bring up, you know, at the water cooler with your boss. They may not be, you know, receptive to that kind of information, but we are here on Coast to Coast. So we'll get to your calls in just a moment. I wanted to mention this, as I say, broadcasting from way up here in the Great White North, and kind of proud of this. One of the most famous ships lost in the 19th century has been located in the Arctic. The Canadian government announced earlier this week, prompting our Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, to declare that one of Canada's greatest mysteries has been solved. The shipwreck marks the final resting place of one of two vessels that disappeared mysteriously nearly 170 years ago, when a British naval expedition led by Sir John Franklin was attempting to navigate and map the Northwest Passage. It was called the Franklin Expedition. The ships, the HMS Erebus and the HMS Terror, were lost in 1846, and both crews perished. Although the graves of a few of the men were discovered later on land, and local Inuit reported seeing one of the ships sink, exactly what happened to the ill-fated voyage has been a source of intense debate and speculation over the years. But now, Canadian authorities have released sonar images of what appears to be a largely intact ship near Nunavut's King William Island, thanks to a remotely operated vehicle owned by Parks Canada. There you go. Another mystery solved. And maybe we'll unravel a few more when Coast to Coast continues right after this. We are back here on Coast to Coast with Open Lines, and we'll begin this stretch with Moses in Tallahassee, Florida, east of the Rockies. Moses, welcome to Coast.
Good morning, Brother Richard. How you doing?
Good morning, Brother Moses.
I'm enjoying the music that you're playing, but Bill Withers has another nice record called A Lovely Day. Lovely Day.
I remember that one. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But again, going back to a lot of superstition, again, I really wanted to get in with the last guest, Mike, and ask him about the order of the Melchizedek order that I feel that Moses, Joseph, and all the elders, Ezekiel, Daniel, Samuel, and all of those ones who had the El, but Elohim, and same as Emmanuel, Yahshua called Jesus, was taught this order. Again, now Joseph was given the coat of many colors, but most, religious leaders hadn't been led to the knowledge of the colors, and it's also spoken, which I consider to be the kingdom keys of in the scripture. He said, "If thine eye be single, then thy whole body is full of lights." So, in my understanding, he's talking about the third eye, or the pineal gland, which is the sixth chakra, and your crown is the seventh. And again, that's part of the 666. Six is not the number of a man; it's the number of man. We have six appendages: two legs, two arms, and quote unquote. We have a penis. A man and a woman has a clitoris, which is her appendage, her sixth appendage. And the spirit had led me to the other six, but I've forgotten it. But that's six, two of them right there.
So you're saying that 666 is not the mark of the beast?
No, the mark of, from my understanding, the mark of the beast is really just a negative individual who's bent on control and just control and domination. I mean, again, going back to from my understanding, when the Greeks got a hold of this information, everybody put their quote unquote two cents in. They pleasurized and revised and add their so-called, their religion or their belief. The trinity of the Greeks is Zeus, Jesus, Poseidon, who was cast down to the water and the earth, and the one who was cast down to hell and damnation is Hades, where we get the word Hades and hell and the devil from.
Right, God, right. Well, we have to separate the Greek pantheon of gods from, you know, the Greek a translation of the Bible. And my understanding is, Moses, and you sound like a very learned man and very well read, my limited understanding is that there's been very little change. If you compare the books of the Old and the New Testament to the scrolls that have been uncovered, very, very little has been changed, and any you know, a dot or a T that's been crossed or what have you really does not change significantly the meaning of the Bible. However, it's an interesting discussion as to, you know, what exactly is 666. Is it the mark of the beast or the mark of man? I just felt that there was something somewhat nefarious about this person.
Richard, let me share another thing then. How about the five-pointed star? We have 55-pointed stars on our flag. We have five fingers on our hand, five toes on our feet, five major senses. So, but man had been led to believe that it's evil and wicked as well because
of
superstition. Oh, the pentagram.
The pentagram.
The pentagram. Our nation, the capital, the Pentagon, it, all that was designed from the five-pointed star.
There
so there's
go.
A lot of stuff that we have been led to see with misunderstanding. Again, let me leave you with this in the scripture. Again, it says, but see, again, some of the truth that I feel that resonate. For one thing, when the Creator created the universe, whether you want to call it the creationism or the Big Bang theory, but when this from darkness came light, what we call the masses, billions of galaxies and billions of suns of solar systems and each galaxies, what we call light, he brought forth the material world, which has one of the seven universal laws. And when you read the book called the Kabbalion, the seven universal laws, the law of polarity, as above, so below, male, female, hot, cold. It says in Isaiah 45, I formed the light and created darkness. I made peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So why are we blaming the scapegoat? That's how the devil was meant to, from my understanding, for us to have some scapegoat to blame our excuses on instead of taking responsibility for the negative choices and turn from our wicked ways. You know,
all right, Moses. So if I'm hearing you correctly, when the waitress came over to me with the 666, you wouldn't have gotten up and left. Maybe you would have even tipped her. Listen, I got to run. Moses, I got to run.
You're cool, brother.
I appreciate the call. Let's say hello to Daniel in Yukipa.
Yukipa.
My apologies. Yukipa. And I practiced it so hard, Daniel.
Be related to Richard Harris, the actor. You know, he played Richard. He played,
of course.
What's his name? King
Camelot.
Arthur in Camelot.
That's right, Camelot. Yes, I'm going to try it one more time. Yeah, I was practicing so hard before you came on, Daniel, and then I booted it. Daniel is on the line from Yucaipa, California. There we go.
Well, hi, Richard.
Good morning.
I got two or three things that's very important that needs to be said. Number one, concerning 666, my understanding of that is that was the name of a certain man whose numerical equivalent of his name just happened to be 666. Well,
that's
if that's true,
that's
it makes it pretty simple. It's not the mark of the beast that's 666, but the electronic funds transfer system that he causes everybody to do that will accept it, and then they got to go to the lake of fire if they do that.
All right. Point
and,
made, Daniel. Okay.
Now, are you aware of Hal Lindsey and his book, The Late Great Planet Earth?
Yes, I am.
He made one little mistake in that book. He was counting a generation as 40 years, but that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that this generation living in that last generation would not all die before everything is fulfilled, and that gives you 70 years because of 70. Am I right or wrong?
Right, but I always thought a generation was 20 years. Maybe not biblically speaking, but when we speak of a generation, we say the younger generation.
Yeah, but it said that generation living in that time
right.
would not
okay.
all die. And we know it is accounted unto man, you know, 70,
right.
know, and 70 years. So if you actually count 70 years from 1948 when Israel became a nation again, guess what? You get 2018, and that's right around the corner, brother.
All right, we're we got the apocalypse coming down the pipe.
And a man been God in disguise. By the way, God is alive and well. By the way, he appeared to me. I believe it was him or one of his angels, and was able to give me a little bit of inside information on when the rapture is going to be. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. The Father alone is keeping that knowledge for himself. But he did reveal through the man who had contacted me that it will happen around the summer season 2016.
Summer season 2016, so says Brother Daniel in Yucaipa, California. All right, my friend, thank you for that. Let's go to the first-time caller line, and Wes is in Garden Grove, California. Wes is in Garden Grove, California. Wes, good morning.
How you doing, Richard, sir? Thank you
I'm
for
all right.
accepting my call.
My pleasure.
I just had a point to make regarding the young lady in the restaurant with the 666. You know, granted that I don't know you, neither do I know the young lady. Could it be a possibility that the young lady, if she did, fabricated a story about the origin of her 666 because she's a young waitress and she's serving the table of people who are giving her very dirty stares because of her belief system, and now she feels that she's not going to receive a tip at all, or there's some kind of negative adverse complaint that's going to be put forth on her just because she's choosing to show her belief system? Because the way I see it is that if we're led to believe that we're a nation of freedom of expression, freedom of religious worship, I don't think a young lady wearing a 666 necklace is any more or less offensive to our different belief systems than if a Muslim was served by a Christian person wearing a cross, or vice versa, or a Jewish server who's wearing a Star of David.
I agree with you on, you know, the freedom of religion and so forth, and I wasn't there to get her fired. It caught me by surprise. I grimaced. She noticed it. She explained what it was. If you're going to put Satanism on the same plane as, you know, any of the great religions, I'm sorry, we'd have to part company on that comment, because I can't agree with you on that one.
Well, of course you couldn't, because you have your own religious beliefs. But looking at it subjectively, if one is to believe that there is a God, wouldn't that God only know what's worldly right and wrong? I mean, who are we as human beings to put down somebody else's belief system just because of what our beliefs are?
Well, a Satanist. What does a Satanist stand for? I mean, what is the, you know, the 666, the sign of the Antichrist? What does the Antichrist stand for?
Well, actually, Satanists actually have very, very well-formed and standard beliefs that actually our mainstream religions don't have, because Satanists actually have an official stance against violence. They have an official stance about rape. They have very official stances about controversial issues that actually our mainstream religions don't address. So what Satan represents to you wouldn't necessarily be what Satan represents to perhaps somebody who's studying Satanism. And that's not to say that you're not correct in that there may be a very large number of Satanists who they're just in love with this idea of a red goat-hoofed man who thrives on evil and suffering. But from what
well,
I've
that's
got,
what the Yeah, that's what well, that's what the
I mean,
Antichrist means to me.
Actually, have very moral views about things. So, I mean, it's not to say you're wrong or she's right or she's wrong and you're right. It's just if you're just in the realm of this is you're a patron of a restaurant. She's a server. She's not. She hasn't walked up to your table and said, "Hail Satan, how may I help you today?" You know, but perhaps it maybe was. You guys put her in a hostile situation to where now she feels like she has to explain something that maybe or arguably she doesn't need to explain to others because it's her own personal beliefs.
Now, that's a fair comment. But to me, maybe there's a difference between a Satanist and someone who's flaunting the symbol of the Antichrist. And to me, she was flaunting the symbol of the Antichrist. Now,
and that's granted. But then again, when you look into historical accuracy, actually any depiction of a cross that's anything but upside down is actually sacrilegious. Because historically speaking, an upside down cross is actually a show of respect for the symbol of Christ, and that we aren't worthy to show an upright cross. So, I mean, these things are all subjective.
Perhaps. I just, you know, to me, the 666, it's hard to get around that one. That says, you know, I believe in the Antichrist. I subscribe to the doctrine of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is what? It's about, you know, death and desolation. That's what the Antichrist represents to me, and that's what 666 means. But, you know, maybe I should have taken the time to sit down with her and find out what she's all about.
No, not at all. I just a different kind of perspective. You know, I don't believe that that there's necessarily a right or wrong standpoint in this thing. You know, it's just two conflicting belief standpoints, and in as much as the young lady has the right to wear her 666 and believe
she
in
certainly
whatever
does.
She
certainly
in.
Does.
And you have the right to be offended by it. But, you know, it's, you know, as long as we're all in the same realm of you have the freedom to believe what you want and I have the freedom to believe what I want, you know, it's not necessarily a horrible thing on either side.
I appreciate your call, Wes. Thank you. I left her 5%. Was that wrong? 5% tip. All right. Let's say hello to, do we have time for one more? I think we can squeeze. Ray is in Tennessee on the wild card line. Ray, we've got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes tops.
Okay, buddy. Might need a little longer than that, but I'll try to squeeze this in real fast. I kind of had a little reverse option right there on it. I come to a restaurant one time and had a shirt that had Jesus on my shirt. And it said, I love you this much. And I walked in, and a guy told me that I might need to turn around and go take it off. And as I was coming in, I told him I just, you know, might as well go ahead and keep it on. And, you know, kind of sticking up for it and everything. So he told me there's people there at that restaurant that may be offended. So I walked in, sat down, and ate. We actually had a waitress that came up to us and cried and told us that she respected us for holding our faith true. And as a matter of fact, I think you've done the right thing for staying there, because in the whole sect of religion, whenever religion kind of gets a hold of somebody and it starts to play these ways on your mind and stuff, man, I think it's a good thing that you kind of put that to the side and you stay there, because God is all about love. Jesus is all about love. It's Satanists or what? Just like the black mass is coming up, we don't need protests, and we just need people to pray. We need people to get down, and we need people to pray for this black mass. And protesting is not going to help. Getting up and leaving is not going to help, even though 666 is the official symbol of the mark of the beast. And for your last caller, the cross is actually not, it's historical, but it's not biblically historical. The cross is just a symbol, but Jesus Christ was actually the main character of the whole thing. So an upside down cross, sideways cross doesn't matter, but 666 is actually biblically historical. So I just want to throw that out there to you, man, and tell you, Ray, I thought you done the right thing by staying.
I appreciate the call, Ray in Tennessee. Thank you for that. Back with more of your calls, open lines, for the final hour here on Coast to Coast AM.